hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island. It's Cofield and Company.
You want to know how bad my attempt at doing Steve Cofield's Friday yell was? DeMond didn't even give it to me again at 5 o'clock. DeMond didn't give me Friday a second time. He couldn't hear it a second time coming from my voice. Steve Cofield is out. He will be back next week. I tried to fill in terribly for him. I'm Adam Candy. Findlay Toyota Studios, where you'll find our man, DeMond. Greg Salerno's down at the Golden Circle at the TI, where you can check out all the Masters and all the exciting action going on leading up to the NBA playoffs this weekend. Just a couple of weeks away from the NFL draft. And I want to start with something here in our 5 o'clock hour in the football world that, guys, this one is really hard for me not to start kicking things, to start punching things, because you really, in life, you're going to make mistakes. You just want to know that you're hoping other people learn from them. You're hoping you learn from your own mistakes. You're hoping other people learn the lessons from bad mistakes that happen. And I know that's wishful old man thinking, right? It's just an old guy getting up here on the radio and saying, why don't you kids ever learn from your mistakes? Well, this one really hits hard, though, because we got more information on the situation with Rashee Rice, the receiver from the Kansas City Chiefs, the standout rookie from last year who is facing charges in Texas over a crash that left 7 people with injuries. And the part of this that really is sticking with me is that police revealed that Rashee Rice, right before this crash, was driving 119 miles an hour in his Lamborghini. One of his acquaintances, a guy by the name of Teddy Knox, an SMU wide receiver, was driving 116 miles an hour. And this one is sensitive, I think, for anybody in Las Vegas who was here for the Henry Ruggs situation, in which he killed a woman, he ruined his career, he killed the woman's dog, he ruined multiple lives driving at a ridiculous speed on a city street. And I don't get it, guys. I really don't. Maybe it's because I'm not a car guy. Maybe it's that simple, right? Maybe I'm not someone who understands the thrill of taking a Lamborghini 120 miles an hour in traffic. But this can't happen. This can't happen. How are we not at a point where we're learning from a situation like Henry Ruggs, where you're talking about a guy the same age, right? Guy at the same point in his career, making almost exactly the same mistake, and it is not just a mistake that hurts him. It is a mistake that Rashee Rice is very lucky didn't actually kill somebody the way it did with Henry Ruggs. I don't want to be old man yells at clouds. I kind of pride myself on not being the one who is afraid of change as I get into my 40s. But things like this, guys, things like this, I cannot wrap my head around. I just cannot. Rashee Rice broke out in the Super Bowl, had one of the better games that we've seen from him all season long, was one of the reasons that the Kansas City Chiefs were able to win the Super Bowl. I'm not saying I felt invincible when I was his age, but holy crap, man. You're not invincible by any stretch of the imagination. He's lucky to come out of this alive. Everybody else is lucky to come out of this alive. And Greg, I don't have a big hairy point to make here. I don't have something that, you know, is going to be some sort of profound advice. This is just me as a football fan and a human being who watched the Henry Ruggs situation, watched that man kill somebody and ruin his own life and ruin his own career. And it hurts. I can't get my head anywhere close to around it.
You know, I was really bummed when I heard it was Rashee too, because Hugh was nice enough to hook me up with some extra work as a stringer at the Super Bowl. Just full disclosure, I was, you know, when you go find people, get interviews for them after the games. And Rashee was one of the guys that was actually super cool, like one of the only guys that would come after the Super Bowl and come over and talk. And we got him on, and he was like just such a really nice guy, humble, like didn't have to be there. I know he had just got into the game. He was still in his stuff, his uniform. Like didn't have to do the interview. Super nice about everything. We had to make him wait longer than it did. The other, you know, some of the other guys were not as nice, you know. And he was just such a cool kid, you know, guy, whatever you want to call him. And to see this happen to him, I mean, it's hard for me not to be hypocritical because I've done things like this. I mean, just admit it, in my younger years, I've done stupid things like this. I got pulled over, done things like this. And I know when you're young, and especially if I had the money to have a Ferrari, Lamborghini, Corvette, whatever, I could see myself doing something stupid like this when I was younger, and it is stupid. And it really sucks. It really sucks. It's like you said, I mean, the details of the Henry Ruggs case are so horrific. And just to remember that and to think that he could have done that, and he also did injure people, but to think he could have killed somebody, it really sucks, man. And I really wish it was it wasn't him, and I wish he had handled it better. And I really hope that somehow he gets his career back. But, man, at this point, I don't know.
DeMond, am I just being an old – like, am I just being the old guy here? Because that's my fear in talking about this. My fear in talking about this is that it comes across like – the old guy just finger-pointing and saying, you young kids and the stupid things you do. Like Greg, I have done stupid things. I'm going to give myself a little bit of grace and say, nothing quite this stupid, though. Like, am I just being an old man who's out of touch?
No, you're not being an old man at all. As a young person that's still continuing to do some stupid things, I see why the players do think that they are invincible. Or sometimes where you're doing things that, let's just say, you're breaking the law. You're speeding, you're breaking the law, and you think, hey, it's not going to be me. Because the worst that you're thinking about is getting pulled over. And you're thinking, oh, they're not going to pull me over. Hey, I'm an NFL player. At worst, I'll be able to, you know, talk myself out of it because I play in the NFL. Or I can afford to pay for this ticket. But I don't think that anybody, when they're performing these dangerous acts, they're thinking of the actual worst, which could be ending their lives or someone else's life. So that youthful invincibility feeling is one of the problems that they do have. But you're not being the old guy. And earlier this week, I know it's a different sport, but still professional sports, Adam Silver said Jonte Porter committed a cardinal sin. And people on Twitter were saying, oh, he mentioned cardinal sin. You know that dude is never playing in the league again. And then someone else had a quote tweet, another media person, I can't think of their name now, and they said, Miles Bridges is still playing in the league, and he's got 2 domestic violence charges on him. Why isn't that a cardinal sin? And for me, I look at speeding the same way, where you're coming, let's just say 20 over the speed limit. Maybe if you want to bump it up a little bit more, hey, 25 over, you're done for a year. You're done for a year. No casualties involved. But no one, you know, a couple of injuries. Maybe if the court system isn't, you can still pay your way out of that. Hey, 25 over the speed limit, you're done for the year. Well, maybe if the NFL put that, hey, this is a cardinal sin for us. The NFL, and I know people don't want to look at it this way, but, you know, they're still a company where you're making our company look bad by performing dumb acts like this, drag racing in the streets. So, hey, 25 over the speed limit, no matter where you get pulled over, you're done for a year. I'm sure that if the NFL looked at this as a cardinal sin and not, hey, as long as there's no criminal prosecution, you're fine, that would change players' mentalities.
I mean, I think that I would just have a hard time seeing the union going for anything that severe. But let me read some of the details of this case that if you're sitting out there saying, okay, this is just a matter of us talking about speeding. Okay, here's the affidavit from this. The two cars, quote, made multiple aggressive maneuvers to get through traffic. So this was not an open road. This is driving 117 miles an hour in the middle of traffic. Rice and 4 other men were seen leaving the scene of the crash without seeing if any of the injured needed help. He's facing a count of aggravated assault, collision involving serious bodily injury, 6 counts of collision involving injury. Turned himself into police on Thursday. One of the people who was injured was seriously injured to the face, the head, leg, torso. Will be dealing with, quote, a life of limited mobility and sight for an undetermined extended period of time while she seeks treatment. So I don't know, man. Like, Greg, I know you have more thoughts on this, and I'll give you the floor back, because I'm still, like, the words are not forming in my mouth right now.
I don't know if you guys have seen it. There's also a video out, a dash cam. I don't know if this has been authentic, if they may have officially made this authentic or not, but there is an alleged video out of the crash. And as the car flies by, I mean, whoever's driving that car, first of all, this guy who drives cars has no idea what they're doing. So, I mean, and DeMond started making this point, too. It's like, dude, you guys have money, and if you want a drag race, there's a track in every town you could rent out and go drag race all night long. You can go 200 miles an hour. You can do whatever you want. You could probably rent out the entire track, go around a circle for all night if you wanted to. I mean, there's no reason. And if you want to have fun like that, you can. And if you're just trying to go from point A to B, I mean, come on, man. There's an Uber, there's taxis, there's a million different ways to get from A to B now. Limos, where you could easily afford to do so. So, I mean, there's really no excuse, and I wasn't trying to make an excuse, just saying that I kind of done things too, you know, but there's no excuse for this. If you have the money. You have the money to do literally anything you want. You could set up a track, do all this stuff. There's no reason for this, and it's just sheer stupidity.
I get that we end up in situations where we are trying to talk about things that we don't understand, where football players, especially at that level, you're always chasing some kind of high, right? Like, you're always chasing the level of competitive high that you get from professional football, and you're trying to take advantage of the spoils that come with the money. And the Lamborghini, hey, man, do you. Like, I'm not even going to go so far as DeMond. You want to speed that car down a wide-open freeway at 4 in the morning and there's absolutely nobody there, I think it's a different situation than you're weaving through traffic and you're going to hurt somebody. Things where you are endangering only yourself are a lot different than things where you are endangering other people. But here's the thing. It's very difficult to find a situation where you're not endangering someone else, because even in the Henry Ruggs case, he had a passenger in the car with him. And you don't know if that person signed up for that. You don't know what else is going to happen outside your car. So look, I can't add a lot of intelligence to this, because I don't know that there is a lot of intelligence to add through this. But please, if you are so much as having a thought of doing this sort of thing, we all see it on the freeway from time to time, right? We all see it when we're driving in Vegas. We all see it 215, 15, it doesn't matter. You see one car fly by you going 25 miles an hour faster than you, you can guarantee there's going to be another one about 3 seconds behind, because that's what's happening, right? Like, they are racing down the road. It's not an unusual thing to see, but every one of them could end like Rashee Rice's situation ended. So, I don't know. Old man yells at young people, tells them to do smarter things. Old guys telling young people to do things, I think, is sort of the unofficial theme of this segment, because, guys, the University of Kentucky, after being turned down many, many, many times by many, many, many coaches, has finally found someone willing to take their money. This used to be a blue blood job, didn't it? This used to be one of those jobs that everybody wanted, and then John Calipari had a lifetime contract. He took off. Let's go down the list here. Dan Hurley said no. Nate Oates said no. Scott Drew said no. Nobody wants the University of Kentucky's money until we get to Mark Pope, the head coach of BYU, former Kentucky basketball player, who is on the path to taking a 5-year deal to become the coach of the University of Kentucky. Guys, this is about as big a change as you could possibly have. Let's think about what BYU squad generally looks like, where you have a lot of more mature players. Often you have some Mormon players coming off missions who are 24, 25 years old. We're now going to the University of Kentucky, where John Calipari, year after year, would have a squad of 12 freshmen. This is as big of a culture shock as we could expect to see. And I think what's most interesting is that John Calipari admittedly had trouble adjusting to the new era, right? Where there are older teams, where you are using the transfer portal, where it's not about having the most talented freshman recruiting class. Well, that's a lot more of what Mark Pope's had to do with BYU over the years in terms of building a program. It seems like they've gotten quite the contrast here, guys. Are you surprised that it took this long for Kentucky to find somebody to be willing to take their cash?
For me, I'm not surprised at all, because it's not that great of a job, where Steve's been talking about it all week, and I'm going to piggyback on that a little bit, where sometimes these fan bases that expect nothing but the best, hey, we've got so many national championships, it's national championship or bust every year, you're not that desirable of a location. People, nostalgia doesn't have the same kind of clout as it used to. People aren't going to Kentucky just because of who went to Kentucky or what Kentucky did yesteryear. Calipari, yes, he made Kentucky cool. But now, hey, Scott Drew wants to stay in Baylor. Baylor. I know he won a championship there, but he said, no, I'm good down here in Baylor. They called the restaurant. They said, are you coming? He said, leave me alone. Let me enjoy my lunch. He didn't even want to go to Kentucky. I know it makes sense that Hurley would stay at UConn because, hey, he's coming off two national championships. UConn's going to do whatever it takes to keep Dan Hurley. But for Kentucky, you get Mark Pope, where he is a guy who loved the job. The only coach that was willing to take this job was someone that this was his dream job, being a former Kentucky player. So that's the only person, a coach with a resume, that would take this job. And Mark Pope did a good job at BYU, but never won a tournament game. This is a coach that hasn't won an NCAA tournament game. And Kentucky, they've got to be looking at this, Kentucky fans at least, as a consolation prize.
Well, the question in Kentucky is going to be a question that UNLV has dealt with for years, and that is, what is the expectation that goes along with your brand name? Now, it's been a lot longer since UNLV has had success than it has for Kentucky, which went 8 years without going to a Final Four, and they have this New York Yankees type attitude of a birthright of being in championships. Well, hasn't happened. And so Kentucky's got some questions about expectations, but the expectation for John Calipari walking into the University of Arkansas is that he's going to be able to spend massively. Now, massive is a relative term when we see the numbers being thrown around in professional sports. Shohei Ohtani has a $700 million contract. So when we hear that John Calipari has $5 million in NIL money to be able to spend, Greg, it doesn't sound like that much. To an 18-year-old, you offer me some portion of that $5 million, and it sounds pretty damn good.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, yeah, sure, it doesn't sound like a lot until, yeah. I mean, if you just want beer and pizza money, I mean, yeah, you got plenty. You could do an entire school of people with that, so I think that, for young kids coming in, and, I mean, would you expect to get paid that much to go to Arkansas anyway? You know what I mean? I don't know if you're a kid going to Arkansas, you think is that in your head, like, the end-all, be-all for the money? I mean, probably not. So you could probably get whoever you were planning on getting. I don't think that they're going to be miffed by getting a little bit less money.
I mean, that budget that
– DeMond, when you look at the money that goes into this, $750,000 to $1 million, high-end going rate, right?
High-end.
High-end,
yes.
Going NIL rate. You're going to get superstar players at that level.
Yeah, they're going to get superstar players.
You can get five of them.
Yes, they could be their entire starting five, because we know that this is the part of the reason that Calipari went to Arkansas. Well, obviously Kentucky was getting on his nerves. But Arkansas also is backing up the Brinks truck with that Tyson Chicken money and saying, hey, we're going to give you whatever it takes to compete. And I do think that that's something that fans are going to have to get used to when it's, hey, who are our boosters? Who's really behind our state school when it comes to athletics? Oh, we've got Tyson behind us? Maybe a little Jerry Jones money? Maybe some Walmart money? So that's what it comes to when it comes down to, what's Calipari going to do with the X's and O's? Maybe doesn't even matter as much as, hey, how much does the Tyson Chicken family believe in John Calipari?
Yeah, let me tell you one school, one basketball court, where they respect the chicken wing. At the University of Arkansas, with all of that Tyson Chicken money behind them, you throw a chicken wing on the court, you, sir, are being ejected. Banned for life. You are never coming back. You can't show more respect to a chicken wing than that.
Yeah, but maybe it's the opposite. There's so many chicken wings that it's like, oh, chicken wings for everybody. Who cares? They have chicken wing confetti. I mean, it doesn't even matter. You know, everything that comes down to chicken wings at the end of the game.
Is this how we made chicken great in the first place? By treating it like it occurs just everywhere? Like you can just get whatever chicken wing you want at any given time? Did we not all just live through a pandemic in which chicken wings became like gold? You had to pay through the nose for a chicken wing. You were not able to get chicken wings in there. You go to a unnamed chicken restaurant that has a very large mascot on television right now. You go to one of those restaurants and you order chicken wings, you might pay $20 for what, a dozen? About right, $20 for a dozen, which, I don't know, in my day, it was never like that. You had respect for a chicken wing. So in Arkansas, maybe that's the question they need to ask their players prior to giving them that NIL money. What is your respect for the humble chicken?
Maybe they use the chicken, though, to make it rain. Like, just to show their wealth, you know what I mean? It's like, you guys, you don't have any money. You guys are all broke. Oh, yeah? We aren't. Look at these chicken wings. They mean nothing to us. There's $1 million chicken wings. I'm going to throw it on the court right now. Big deal.
Lighting dino nuggets on fire.
There you go.
Lighting them up, baby. Doesn't even matter. You don't need them. You know, we don't need them. We don't need your chicken wings. We have all the chicken, and we're going to have all of the beef with you.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
Golden Circle at the TI is where you can find Greg Salerno, Adam Candy in for Steve Cofield on your Friday afternoon. About an hour and a half from puck drop over at T-Mobile, where the Golden Knights going to be taking on the Minnesota Wild. Might be the last time you get a look at Marc-Andre Fleury, who's going to start for the Wild and might be on the verge of retiring. So get out to T-Mobile tonight and check that out. Got a little giveaway for you here. If you're paying attention, you'll know that we've got Margarita World tickets. Two of them. Downtown Event Center featuring the Coral Reefer Band, a day of live music and margaritas. That's Saturday, April 20th. Doors at 5 p.m. Tickets at dlvec.com. Damon's going to take caller number 5 right now. 702-364-1100. 702-364-1100 for two tickets to the Margarita World at the Downtown Las Vegas Event Center. Kind of big news out of the Golden Knights world today, and listen, haters, I'm talking directly to you right now. All of the Golden Knights haters who are unhappy with the way that they manage their long-term injured reserve and the fact that they are able to, let's say, massage the NHL salary cap by having big salaries on long-term injured reserve and then making it work by bringing some of those players back if they're able to make it back in the playoffs, if that just happens to be the timing when they're readily available again, when the salary cap doesn't matter quite the same way. In fact, it doesn't matter at all. That player can come back off long-term injured reserve. Well, Mark Stone, captain of the Vegas Golden Knights, cleared today to practice. Still in the red non-contact jersey, which means he's not all that close to coming back yet, but back on the ice for the first time since February. He's coming back from a lacerated spleen, so let's not talk about this like some sort of hamstring injury that someone might be nursing, and are they telling the truth? No, this guy had a serious injury, and he's coming back. But, of course, all of the ones out there who don't like the Golden Knights, and that is basically the other 29 NHL teams who get mad at the Golden Knights for using the salary cap the way they do, sorry you don't have an owner who's willing to go out and spend the money that Bill Foley is to have the team that the Golden Knights do. So Greg, here's my question for you. You think these haters have any beef when it comes to VGK? Because it doesn't seem to me that the rules are being broken here. Like, the NHL is the one who set up the rules. The NHL is the one who said, yeah, the salary cap matters during the season, but then come the playoffs, if you have a player who's eligible to come off injured reserve, well, you no longer have to be under the salary cap until next year. Bill Foley didn't make the rule. The Golden Knights didn't make the rule. Bill Foley just went out there and was willing to spend money, but yet the haters around the rest of the NHL still have plenty to say about the Golden Knights.
You know what it reminds me of a little bit is a team that dominates your Giants a lot, the Eagles. They have this thing
called... Yeah, they do. They do that.
They have this thing called the tush push, and everybody in the league's like, oh, it's unfair. You can't do that. You shouldn't be able to do this. Shouldn't be able to do that. Well, guess what? It's in the rule book, and you could do it too if you wanted to, and they all tried, and they couldn't do it. Throughout the season, I have a highlight reel of teams attempting the tush push where it didn't work out, and the Eagles are the only team that could do it. So why is it their problem? They're good at it. I feel like it's the same thing. You could do it too. I mean, they're not breaking any rules. So why is it how come your team's not doing it? Go get a better owner then. I mean, how is it the Knights' problem that you can't finesse it the same way they are?
It's the first time I've ever thought about Jalen Hurts and Bill Foley in the same breath, but you, sir, are a savant. That, I mean, there it is. The Golden Knights are the tush push of the NHL. They're taking the rules. They're shaping them up. They're doing something that, in theory, anybody else could do if they wanted to do it. But they're just doing it better than you, right? They've just figured out a way to take those rules and be able to make them work, because not only do we have Mark Stone and his large salary potentially coming back in the playoffs, but the Golden Knights traded for Tomas Hertl, making about $6.8 million a year. And they traded for Noah Hanifin from Calgary, and that contract extension that he just got is going to pay him up to $7+ million a year. Now, that doesn't kick in for a couple of years, so you're not dealing with it here at the moment. But I don't really have any trouble with any owner in any sport, Greg, who wants to work around the salary cap, because salary caps are stupid.
Like,
the whole idea is stupid. Why do we have salary caps? Because owners all went around with each other and decided, well, this is a way to make things viable for the long-term health of the business, right? Like, some rich owners can't outspend some poor owners. You know where rich owners can outspend poor owners? The world. Everywhere. That right. is how it works.
Exactly.
Like, Apple and Samsung don't have to play in the same end of the pool as every other electronics company. They've just got more money. They've got better products. They've got things that people want, right? NHL owners, NBA owners, NFL, I don't care. Spend as much money as you want. I'm not telling you who you have to be a fan of. I'm not telling you that every team has to be competitive every year. Go get a better team. Go get a better owner. I don't think salary caps make any sense in the first place, so I don't have any trouble when an owner comes in and says, yeah, you know what? I'm going to keep spending. He spends off the ice, Foley does. He spends on the ice, and if he has to use the rules and a little loophole in them so that the fans in Vegas can have a winner, I don't care.
Yeah, too bad, so sad. I mean, you know, why should they suffer because your owner's too stupid to do the same thing? It makes no sense to me at all. Hate is dumb.
The draft is just as crazy, if we want to talk about it. The draft is just as crazy of an idea, where we have slotted salaries for rookies coming in. Can you imagine? Can you just imagine if you were a hotshot, let's just say, computer engineer, and you knew how to make the best version of the iPhone? You could make the iPhone 25% faster. You could make it with a 25% better. You are just that much of a little superstar with a calculator and an abacus. Good for you. I've never been that guy. I will never be that guy. I am not good at math. But let's say you are. You're that guy. Can you imagine if you're coming out of college and there was a slotted salary that said, well, you might be the guy that everybody wants. You might be the one who can revolutionize the product. But all the owners out here of all of the electronics companies, we all got together and we decided the most we're paying you this year as the number one overall engineer is $150,000.
Well,
that's insane. That kid's worth millions. This little genius, even though I want to kick the snot out of him, is worth whatever can be paid to him. So when we talk about the draft is just the same amount of restraint. It's I don't know, buddy. It's to me, it's equally crazy.
It's collusion is what the salary cap is. The salary cap is collusion in order to keep the prices down. They say it's for parity, but all it is so that they don't have to pay the players more, because the players would be demanding more money if there was no salary cap. That's all it is. It's just collusion.
If you want to have that collusion, you want to keep the prices down, then do me a favor. When I go to the game, I don't want to pay $17 for a beer.
Right.
Right? You're in such hard-up times that you needed to save that money that I don't want to pay that kind of money. You saved all that money on paying the players, right? If you saved all that money on paying the players, I don't want to have to worry about it when I go out to the stadium. You obviously need austerity to be able to make this work, so I don't think that we should be the ones having to pay for it. And if you're a Golden Knights fan, then it's truly a situation with haters. I don't like the concept of haters. I think it's kind of silly. I think it's overplayed. I think the idea of, hi, haters, is just, it's kind of dumb. Like, it really is kind of dumb. Just in most situations, just focus on the positive. Focus on you. You do you. But the Golden Knights have been dealing with this from day one. They've been dealing with the rest of the NHL hating on them from day one. Everyone's been mad at them for taking advantage of the rules that are out there. for the rules that were set up for the expansion draft, for the rules that were set up for the salary cap for everybody. Sorry that George McPhee just made better trades than your GM did in the expansion draft. Sorry, or should I say it in Canadian? Sorry. Sorry about that. Sorry that we just played the game here in Vegas a little better than you did. I don't know, man. For me, here's what I will wrap this with. If you don't think that your team should have to play by the same rules as the Golden Knights when it comes to spending money, why do you root for losers?
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Wrapping it up here on a Friday afternoon, Greg Salerno's down at the Golden Circle at TI. Great place to watch the games, get a great meal, get a couple bets down if that's what you like to enjoy. Maybe you're more of a music fan. Maybe you'd like to get in on something that, you know, you didn't get in on 15 minutes ago. I'm not just a one-time giver. I'll give twice. I'll give you two tickets to Margarita World at Downtown Event Center featuring the Coral Reefer Band. Day of live music and margaritas, Saturday, April 20th, 5 p.m. The doors open. You can get your tickets at dlvec.com. That's the Downtown Event Center. Or you can be caller number 5 right now at 702-364-1100, 702-364-1100 for two tickets to Margarita World. Damod, before you pick up the phone, why don't you get me in that bag?
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Mr. Salerno, I have an important question for you. And it might not matter that much because we only got about, 10 minutes left here. So I'm going to get about my weekend either way. But I do want to know this about you. It's important information. Are you a dog person? Are you a cat person? Are you both?
Definitely dog person. I like animals, though. So, I mean, I would never hurt a cat or, I would never want to see any animal hurt. But definitely dog. But I do think cats are very interesting animals. Like, I wouldn't want one in my house. But to observe one, I think is very fun.
That is maybe the best way I've ever heard that put. Like, if there were a small zoo where it were just like house cats doing things, sure. Right. Do I want one in my home? Absolutely not. I personally think that if something uses the bathroom inside of a home, it should know then how to flush that toilet. And so, if we're talking about some sort of, meet the parents situation, then fine. If you could teach the cat how to do that, then that's great. But I'm a dog person. I have a dog. I've had a dog for many years now. And I love Finn the Bat Dog out at the Las Vegas Aviators game.
Big fan,
and so you can't see me right now, everyone in Radioland and Finn in particular, but salute to Finn. April 19th, Finn will be retiring as Bat Dog at the Las Vegas Aviators.
No!
Finn will be retiring. Finn is 12 years old, and, in lab years. That is definitely golden years time to go enjoy a few pets and a little milkbone treat and live out those good years. But this guy's been one of the best reasons to go out to the Aviators game for a long time. And, oh, by the way, it's been great marketing for the Aviators, too.
The best reason to go to the games. The best reason. And, it's kind of coincidental that Finn means N, too. But I think that, I think it's great. And I think the funniest reaction I've ever seen at a crowd at a stadium is whenever the umpire takes the bat and throws it, and the dog doesn't get a chance to get it because he forgets or something, and the crowd goes absolutely nuts at the umpire. That's one of my favorite things at an Aviators game to watch is when Finn didn't get his chance to do his job, and they passed him by.
Real quick, I also want to applaud Finn because you know how I discovered this news? Finn the Bat Dog DM'd us the links to the story on Twitter. He sent us
my
the links.
My God.
At 6 a.m., he sent us the link to the story. Yes, we follow the station account at ESPN Las Vegas if you want to follow us on Twitter. But at Finn the Bat Dog, he's also active on Twitter enough to, do his own PR.
Beat that, Marc-Andre Fleury.
Hey. Old Marc-Andre has gone to the farm upstate.
That's true.
So
he did go to the
Rainbow
Bridge.
Let's be gentle.
You're right.
He's going to hang out with all the other animals in a nice big meadow somewhere up in Fallon. Okay, like he's definitely off doing his own thing. Finn, still enjoying some time. He's got another week left. So they're going to send off Finn on April 19th. So get out there to the Aviators game and sometime between now and then and say a well-deserved goodbye to Finn. Yes.
Is there a Finn replacement, by the way? Is there a new training Finn or...
I didn't want to talk about... No, I... Do we have to talk about this? I said in the last segment, like, I want to be a positive person. I don't want to be focusing on the negative, but it turns out there's not going to be a replacement this year.
What?
For Finn. Finn had a little sibling named Lambo who was in training with Finn, but Lambo has gone up to help the Reno Aces with their bat collection. And so... We have to wait to see if there's going to be another bat dog replacing Finn. I mean, this is all respect, by the way, for the training that it goes into getting the dog ready to do this job. I don't assume that there's another dog hanging out, you know, somewhere down the street who's like, hey, you know what I was really hoping to do tomorrow? Go retrieve bats in 115 degrees out at the stadium. Like, that's
a
walk
on.
Cool. Yeah, a walk on.
Yeah, tryouts. What's wrong with tryouts?
You know what? I am never bringing my dog anywhere near those tryouts. Like, I think I would bring him out and be like, you know what? You know what, my buddy Scout, like, let's go do this. Let's see if you can do it. And then he's going to be halfway to Boulder City and be like, oh, this is a bad
$70 idea. Dog food. I mean, he's got to earn his keep. Am I right? He's got to put, you know, how's he earning that dog, $70 pound dog food?
Well, largely by chewing through my clothes. It's not really a fair relationship. Yeah, it's not really a fair relationship either direction here. Like, I do force the dog to, like, you know, I'll, like, sit down next to the couch and be like, hey, come over here and spend some time with this loser who's got, you know, nobody else in the house. Like, and he kind of saunters his way over for a second. And then he does something that I think only a good Australian Shepherd does, like, he greets you with his backside. Like he will walk over to you for a second. You pet the head. And all of a sudden, he swings this giant Aussie milkshake around at you. And you're like, whoa, that, like, you can tell you are meant to be a working dog. Like, you are meant to be out there powering from the hindquarters to be rounding up cows and sheep out there. And now you're stuck, you know, your only job is to sit next to this loser in his house.
Doggy red light district.
You know, I do think that he would be great at twerking. Maybe that's how I could put him to work.
Yeah,
like maybe put my dog on the pole. Put my dog out there dancing for dollars. Speaking of Damon, why don't you get in that grab bag?
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
If I had one salute for Finn the Bat Dog, let me give a two arm salute to Trigger. You guys haven't met Trigger, but Trigger is a dog who is celebrating the end of a career that might be at the end of the GOAT discussion. I don't know that any career has ever been as accomplished or as enviable as what Trigger has done in his career. Trigger is going to retire here right around the same time as Finn the Bat Dog. And you're wondering, why is Trigger such a special dog? Well, first of all, he worked for Guide Dogs UK. He has fathered in the past 7 years. In the past 7 years, this dog has fathered 323 puppies.
Whoa!
323 puppies. Let me tell you some more fun facts about the work that Trigger has put in. I mean,
yeah,
again, good job if you can get it. Trigger had 39 different litters that created these puppies, and there was not a single repeat mother.
Wow.
39 litters, 39 different mama doggies who had these. Trigger made a living out of having 39 different partners and making guide dogs for the future. So you can't even get on him and say that he's living some sort of irresponsible Nick Cannon lifestyle.
I was going to say, is his last name Cromartie? Because, wow.
He is not a Cromartie. No. He is not. No. That was nine. Antonio Cromartie was not. He's not. It's not a Phillip Rivers situation, right?
Right.
It's not like Phil who went for double digits. No. Trigger went all the way. How about this, man? Can you imagine a life better than this? Can you imagine what might be better? I can't. I absolutely cannot imagine a life better than what Trigger is celebrating here. His last litter was made up of five daughters and one son. He is also responsible for a record-breaking litter for guide dogs. When a German Shepherd mom, because he's a modern dog, you can love who you love, right? Like, it's not a matter of it has to be another golden retriever. Like, German Shepherd turned out to be who gave him the record-breaking litter that he had 16 puppies. And you want to know what's even better than this, guys? He's retiring at nine.
How do we know he wants to be done? That's what I was going to ask. How do we know he's ready to step away? He might pull a Jordan and pull in the facts in a couple of years and say, I'm back.
Well, I think that you could probably set up a situation where maybe his work is something that he could do for pleasure, right? Like, he doesn't necessarily have to be put to a standard of needing to keep up the supply of guide dogs, right? It could be more of a thing where it's like, you know what? I'm going to go down to the dog park this weekend and see if I can, if I can meet a young lady. Maybe it's a really special young lady who, I know dogs don't have opposable thumbs. Maybe she could do the equivalent of what Greg had, where she takes a chicken wing and smears it all over your face as a little mating dance, right? Because that's the greatest story I've heard all day. And that it wasn't the end of it. That by the way, you never told us.
Yeah.
Quick right sure. turn here. Mm-hmm. Was the brisket any good?
Actually, I never cooked it because it was like 3 a.m. and she was like, you want to have a barbecue tomorrow? And like, by the time I woke up the next day, like, I don't even know where she was. And like, I don't know what she did with the brisket. I hope it was good.
I thought it was cooked brisket when you told
me. I thought it was cooked too. I thought you were going home to eat the brisket.
No, I'm sorry. It was not cooked. It was like in a deli wrapper. That's why I thought it was like an H package or something. I thought she was like bringing up black tar from this bar, and it turned out to be the raw brisket in a package.
That's like one of those like Locked Up Abroad things. Like, you watch the beginning of Locked Up Abroad,
yeah,
and it's like,
yeah, exactly.
How did this 25-year-old graduate student end up in a Thai prison?
Exactly.
Like, because he decided to chase down the girl who rubbed a chicken wing across his face, and then they went into a bar and got a random package, and all of a sudden he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and he's got 25 years of hard time to do in a prison in Bangkok.
I was almost on Midnight Express.
And could you imagine trying to talk to the lawyer? I thought it was brisket.
Yeah,
I thought
exactly.
We were going to pick up brisket at 3 a.m.
The only person who can get away with that is Steve Cofield. Steve Cofield legitimately could say, I thought it was brisket. I followed a woman into a bar on the hope that I was going to get brisket. The man responsible for the 29 pounds of meat, the man who has his own slicing machine at home, could legitimately argue that. We could bring in character witnesses to speak up for the fact that Steve Cofield legitimately thought he was getting brisket at a bar at 3 a.m. that he was going to take home and cook the next day. And if that woman said to him, let's have a barbecue tomorrow, he would have married her that night. Without question, they would have been down at the chapel, drive-through wedding. They would have said, does anyone here object? Nobody objects. They would have said, do you have a gift for the bride? And he would have said, yes, a brisket. Like, this is... I hope he's listening to this. Wherever the hell he is right now, I hope Steve Cofield is listening to this and wondering, what did they do with my show? They said I'm going to marry a girl with a brisket in a bar at 3 a.m. And the day before, some guy kept singing about breast milk at the end of the show. Like, what was going on here?
I forgot about
that. Like, what happens when you turn the asylum over to the inmates? Greg, I don't know, man. Thanks for playing along.
Love you guys.
All right,
Love
guys.
You more.
Have a great weekend out there. We will see you on Monday here on Cofield & Company.